Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this last Sunday of our church calendar. It's the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, or Christ the King. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Office of Social Ministry is sponsoring the Angel Tree Project again this year for children whose parents are incarcerated. The diocese has a list of over 150 children in need of an angel. These children are innocent victims, meaning that they have done nothing to contribute to their being in the situation in which they find themselves. The Diocese Office of Social Ministry has planned a Christmas party for these children on December 20th. For information about becoming an angel to a child who needs one, especially at this time of year, when the most celebrated and sacred holiday approaches, please contact Heath Garcia at the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Social Ministry, 361-882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you?
Very well. Another year, another liturgical year
we've
lived through, so we're very grateful for that. So I'm great today.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know it's always this Sunday, and then of course the next Sunday's Advent, which is such a beautiful season.
Right.
So in the beginning, our gospel is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, verses 35 to 43. The ruler sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, when I was preparing this and I was reading this gospel, it was a little curious to me why we're having this particular gospel the Sunday before Advent starts.
Good question. That was decided at the end of the Second Vatican Council, that with the reform of the liturgy, that the culmination of the life of Jesus, and we start, of course, with Advent, preparing for his birth, and then we go through his birth, his life, death, resurrection, and coming to the very end, the more eschatological, you might say, the new world to come is the solemnity of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. So Jesus is not just in his human life. In fact, he refuted several times that I'm not a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. It is of the next life. So the church wanted to emphasize Jesus as King of the universe, of all reality, of all creation, of all uncreated reality, that he is the King of all. Now, I guess you're questioning why do we have the gospel of the crucifixion?
Exactly.
Well, where was he king? On the cross.
Right.
And that's perhaps the mystery of this great feast, and the mystery that's probably difficult for many people to understand. When we think of power on a human level, We think of promotion. We think of grabbing, taking, being promoted up, and we go up higher and higher and higher in the realm of human honor and respect, etc. But then we have to look at Jesus, and in fact, the very life of God is descending, where a human king ascends to higher realms on earth. We're speaking on earthly terms. Mm-hmm. But the king who is of heaven descends into the life of the human person. And that's where the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians is so important for us. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, to have the attitude of Christ. Though he was God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Now, an earthly king would want you to know right away who he is, or a queen, who she is, what respect she's owed, he's owed, and so forth. And we would certainly want to honor that. I'm thinking of Queen Elizabeth, who was such a wonderful, dignified woman, and certainly a noble queen in that sense, on an earthly level, and right, open to so many people. But we're talking about another reality here, who is God. So Jesus did not hold on to his identity as being God, mm-hmm, because his kingship is one for all peoples. So in that sense, he did not deem himself to be equated with God, but he emptied himself. And that's the great mystery of God. He emptied himself to become like us, every one of us. So from the poorest of the poorest of the poor to even the wealthy who accept him. And this past week, we also celebrated the beautiful feast of St. Elizabeth, mm-hmm, of Hungary, who was a queen. And yet she, in the same light of being Jesus, of Jesus, she too took away all of her own riches in order to serve the poor. And many of those who knew her at the time testified that she really was a true queen in the sense that she was there for everybody. And in fact, even after her husband died, she took one of her castles and made it into a hospital. So in that kind of that image of Jesus being Elizabeth was an earthly queen,
right,
but Jesus is that king who wants to be there for everybody. And so the kingdom, the king of that is God, descends into the life of the human person, even to the point of death, continuing on with Philippians, death on a cross. And yet God highly exalted him. So it's because he entered into the depth of life for each one of us, it's that humility and that gift of himself that God recognized the Father, recognized, and ascended him back to heaven. Remember what Jesus also said, that whoever humbles himself will be exalted, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. So it's this great paradox of humility that is really in God's kingdom, the royalty, mm-hmm, of being of royal birth is the one that knows how to descend or empty him or herself in order in service to others. And so that is the kingship of Jesus Christ. It's not a kingship. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my people would know me and they would protect me, but my kingdom's not here. And Jesus's life as the humble servant was not accepted by many. Mm-hmm. But for those who did have become, he is the power in their life.
As you were explaining this, now it makes sense to have this particular reading for our last Sunday of the, mm-hmm, liturgical,
right,
calendar,
right,
because Advent starts it all anew.
Right, yeah. So we see where the power of Jesus, his life and death and resurrection and all the things that he says throughout the liturgical year in the ordinary time, the different miracles, the different things that he said and taught, they all lead to the fact of God's love and mercy that is in a descending mode. And in other words, it's a love that can meet us where we are. I'm thinking just in terms, if you look at many of the parables that Jesus told about the merciful father who came to the prodigal son. Here you have a father, a rich father, mm-hmm, whose son went off with his portion of the riches and wasted it away in a normal family. He had been sent to his room with his nose against the wall for the rest of his life, you know, because he doesn't belong here. The merciful Father, who is in the image of God, the image of Jesus, welcomed his son. So he descended. He left behind his equality with his riches and emptied himself of that so that he could identify with his son. The other brother, of course, could not make that break from who he was in the sense of the order of a wealthy family, and the son needs to be judged and put out. But that's the way God treats us. He doesn't depart from us. And in that sense, he's a king. Mm-hmm. He is our king and ruler.
Mm-hmm. And going along with that story of the prodigal son, the father said to the other son, I've given you everything. Yeah. You will have everything. Right. So he wasn't excusing the one who lost everything.
No.
But he was welcoming him back.
Right. And he didn't hold it against the other son who was always there. I mean, it wasn't the older son who had everything wasn't losing anything by the father being merciful to the other son. So it's, yeah, God's fair in all cases.
Mm-hmm. Sibling jealousy.
Well, yes. But I mean, in the sense that God's heart is so magnanimous, so huge, that we can't even comprehend, I think, in many ways, the immensity of God's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that we always want to remember in our own lives.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, going back to the topic of the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, because the universe is both seen and unseen. And we look at our creed. When we begin our creed, we say that we believe in God, who is maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. You know, we limit God to what we can comprehend, and as we alienate ourselves from God and the thought of God more and more, we alienate ourselves to the reality of creation, both visible and invisible, uncreated and the created. And so it's hard for us to conceptualize or to understand or grasp God as the ruler of the universe, the maker of the universe, the huge expanse of God, who is both Lord of uncreated and the created. So, but Jesus Christ becoming one of us and expressing all that God is in just human terms lifts us up, as he was lifted up on the cross, to that ultimate goal of perfect love. And that's who God is. That's what his kingdom is, the kingdom of love and justice, proved by his son, Jesus Christ, who is God, giving himself totally on the cross. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery that we all have to, you know, grapple with, but in a joyful way, and to accept with faith that he is the king of the universe. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense of a king as ruler that we are used to in earthly terms, but a king who is beyond, who's the real king. You know?
So the seen part is easy. The unseen part is not as easy.
Well, it's the angels and the, you know, mm-hmm. created reality, yeah, which is, right. It's there.
Yeah.
But that is the divine nature, mm-hmm. is the uncreated angels. So the angels that are participate in the grace of God, in the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful picture. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break. When we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View.
So I wanted to pick up from where we left off. I think, if I can remember, it wasn't too long ago that we finished. But if you'll notice in this gospel, and I think it's something for all of us to pause and perhaps spend some time with. He saved others, let him save himself. Then the man who was a criminal on the cross with him, save yourself and us. I think there's a third time here, save yourself. That is very key for us to understand Jesus, but also this moment on the cross, save yourself. Many of us would do that in a very difficult position. We'd look after ourselves first, and more in our society, there's that tendency and that thought of saving myself over others. And that plays out in many realms, in the issues of life. I would rather save myself than the baby in the womb. I'd rather save myself than this poor person. Because when the self reigns supreme, that's the king. So in many of our lives, our king is ourselves and not God. So when they are jeering at him, when the criminal is saying, save yourself, save us, but save yourself, save yourself. Remember, that's not why Jesus came. He did not come. God did not come in Jesus to save himself. He came to save us. And so to save us, he had to sacrifice himself. A very simple concept, perhaps hard and difficult to understand and to grasp. He did not come to save himself. He came to sacrifice himself so that we could be saved. So when you see the other criminal saying to remember me when you come into your kingdom, which is a kingdom of peace and joy and selflessness, Jesus said to him, because he didn't say, save me, he said, just remember me. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So I think it's a lesson for all of us. You know, there's so many ways to look at the crucifixion. We can look at a crucifix on the wall. And I know some people have said, oh, how horrible, you know. But that's love. That's the purest of all purest of love, is that God did not think of himself. Jesus did not think of himself. He thought of us. And every Christian has to incorporate that reality, not just that thought, but that reality into his or her life. Because that's the basis of being a Christian. That God loves me so much, he died on the cross. He sacrificed himself for me. And this gospel, I think, brings that out in a very, very poignant and clear way. Save yourself and us. Save yourself. Jesus never answered, but of course he never did it. Many people say, well, why didn't God, when he cried out to God, you know, why have you abandoned me? Why didn't God intervene? That's also an act of love, because if he had intervened, then the plan of God saving us through Jesus would have been thwarted. Right. Jesus had to go through this for us. And so the love of God is so incredible, but also very misunderstood, that God would go to that insanity to die on the cross for you and for me. That we have to incorporate and appropriate to our own lives, that God loves me so much, he would do that. And that's personal for each person, but it's also for the whole human race. So that very phrase there, to save yourself, and Jesus did not do that, because that was not his mission. His mission was to sacrifice himself for you and me. And that's what makes him king of the earth and of eternal life.
Divine king.
The divine and the human, yes, exactly. And only God could do that. So that's why Jesus is both God and man. He's in his incarnation, which we again through Advent lead up to the incarnation, the becoming of man of God in Jesus Christ. So he descends from heaven as a God into the human race to be a human. But then through his death and resurrection, he ascends back to God, taking us with him. And he's there for us in every moment of our life. Every breath we take, he's right there.
And it's such a comforting thought.
Comforting, yes.
Well, I say that, you know, when you talk about the crucifixion, I know when I've been in the hospital and they have the crucifixion there, and if they have to start an IV, and I'm thinking, if he can be on that cross, yeah, I can be strong for the IV.
I think it's too, though, it's looking just beyond the physical sufferings. You know, there are physical sufferings and all of that. And of course, that's what repulses people so many times, is just the thought of the physical suffering. But it was more than physical suffering. It was a spiritual suffering that was love. And I mean, I think in a human way, I mean, I think it's certainly not a comparison, but it certainly is a help maybe to understand that you can imagine a family, a mother and a father in a burning house with their children. I mean, they would sacrifice themselves instinctively for their children. In this sense, it's not so much instinct, but it's love. And of course, that instinct in a mother or a father is also love. But for God, it is an intentional, putting himself in that position on the cross to love us so much that he would do this for us. So it's really a kingdom when Jesus says it doesn't belong to this world. It's right, because you can't understand why anybody would do that. You know, mother and a father, yes, because mm-hmm. that's who they are. But the fact that a God would descend, humble himself, who has created us to become one of us. There's an image in the Old Testament of being the worm of the earth, to have that kind of imagery that God is a worm.
Worm of the earth.
Yeah, yes. that he was so himself so much that he could be compared to that. Because when you think of God, the immensity of God, and yet you could say to being a worm. But that's just a comparison. But the fact that he does it out of total love for us is what makes him the king, our king, today and always.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful way to end our liturgical season.
Yeah, exactly. And then preparing us to celebrate with even more fervor the next year, the next liturgical mm-hmm. moments as well.
Yeah.
So, Barbara, this is your final time with us, at
yes,
least as the host. We're going to put in a new format and everything, and maybe have you as a guest every once in a while, too. But I thought today, and being thankful to you for what, 16 years?
Actually, I'm only 13.
13, okay. Right before I came on.
Right. I took over from Kim Sager mm-hmm. with Bishop Carmody for about 6 months. And then you and I had our first program. I saw it in my notes right after you were ordained.
Okay, right.
The bishop, yeah. March 28th yeah. of 2010.
Yeah, I remember you saying to me, we're doing Shepherd's View tomorrow. And I said, what?
I
had no idea what you were talking about, but it's turned out to be a great 13 years of reflecting on the gospel and praying together. And so I'm very, very grateful for your preparing all this, because Barbara has been preparing it every week, sending it to me and getting me ready. And sometimes maybe I wasn't as ready as I wanted to be, but wasn't her fault. So,
Bishop, I can't tell you how
many times we had to rely on the Holy Spirit.
You would come in and say, I'm not ready at all, and it would just flow. You just have the gift of being a wonderful teacher. So it's been an honor for me to be sitting across from you and listening. It's been like my own personal Bible study for all these years.
Well, I think a lot of people, I mean, I know I laugh every once in a while in the grocery store or at a ball game or something, and people comment how much they enjoy the program. And so it's been a credit to both of us. I guess we have to work together in these things. So I thank you for that. And as I said, we'll be using a little different format. I'm going to have Jesse De Leon and Katia Uriarte, who are here now in our communications department, to assist me. But we wanted to bring in some people, perhaps in the second portion, maybe not every week, but who can also talk about their own life and how the gospel fits into their life. You know, you hear my stories, and I think mm-hmm. you've added a few, mm-hmm. but, you know, to hear from young people and families. So we want to kind of broaden our scope that other people can speak, you know, with me, and we can dialogue together. So so anyway, that's kind of where we're headed with it.
I think that's going to be a wonderful concept, because over the years, we've had some guest speakers in, if you've been on some of your bishop's meetings and out of town, sure. and we've had other people from the chancery come in. But I think to bring those of us that are out here in the diocese, how are we actually living out the gospel in different stories? And it can incent and motivate other people, like, oh, what a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Boy, that's really touching.
Yeah.
So there's some amazing, we have a lot of amazing and gifted people in the diocese.
Yeah. I know that when I was in formation, there was a priest I really respected, and he said, you know, if our theology cannot become real, then what good is it? In other words, if we say, well, God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one, but if you can't live that, what good is knowing? I mean, it's just thoughts.
Yeah. Right.
So in the fact that a family could be three or five, seven, who are one because of love, that's Trinitarian. So the reality of the Trinity is real in relationships, if they're pure and done out of love for each other. So those are the kind of things I think we're hoping to hear and show in human existence and not just in theory.
Well, I think it'll be educating our listeners to know exactly what is going on in the diocese.
Yeah,
with
some
people.
Of that. And to identify with, like you said, with the same people that are in the diocese with them and with us together. So I think it'll be a great church event to be able to continue this that way.
And you'll still be reading the gospel.
Yes.
People love that.
We'll read the gospel and talk about it. And so the stories or experiences from people would be in the second half. So we'll certainly talk about the gospel of the week in the first part and make sure that that's well done as well as you've helped me do too. So I want to thank you. We have a little gift here for you today thank you for your time and for your, not just your time, but your talent and all the work that you put into it.
Well, I think it's been a real honor, you know, to do this. And it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it. As I said, my own personal Bible study.
Well, and, you know, I think Jesse and Katya may not be well every day. So we might be called. We know who to call.
That's right.
If we can, like you did with Kim every once in a while, calling her in. So we certainly appreciate that. So
it's been a pleasure.
Good.
It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, and this is not a
thank
goodbye.
You. It is not a goodbye.
It's just we'll see.
You're not
you
getting
later.
Rid of me.
No,
sure.
We won't get rid of you. But at the same time, wish you a happy Thanksgiving with your
thank
family,
you.
And wish everyone who's listening today a very happy and beautiful Thanksgiving with family and friends, and may it be a joyful and peaceful time.
So, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Certainly. Almighty, ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe. Grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.